We continue this week with our preaching series, Wholehearted, where we delve into and allow the Lord to transform us, to live out the two great commandments that Jesus tells us in the Gospels a couple weeks ago, to love God with our whole heart and to love our neighbor as ourself. But we live out these commandments at the end of this liturgical year with our eyes firmly fixed on heaven. As we know, the end of the liturgical year comes with the Feast of Christ, the King of the universe. And all our readings, all the church's liturgy, points us in the direction of heaven, basically showing us and telling us we are made for eternal joy with heaven. And living out these two commandments, loving God with our whole being, is how we get there. That is the road we take. So let's dive into the parable we have this morning. When we hear the parable of the 10 virgins, one of the first and simple questions we may ask is this: why can't the 5 wise virgins share their oil? Sure, when the bridegroom approaches, the wise virgins say to the foolish ones, "There may not be enough oil for you and us." But let's look a little deeper. I would suggest that we cannot understand the reason why the virgins cannot share their oil until we answer another question. What does the oil mean or stand for? What does this oil, the oil that prepares the virgins for the coming of the bridegroom, mean? Among the many answers to this question, an answer that matches up where we are as a parish is that the oil stands for the desire of a relationship with Jesus Christ. The oil is the desire for a friendship, an intimate relationship with Jesus. This is not a relationship of mere duty, mere obligation, merely just saying yes because it is commanded of me, but rather it is a relationship of friendship, one of intimacy. And if this is the case, we quickly realize that desire cannot be simply given to another. You cannot force or shove desire upon somebody, just like you cannot force someone to love you. Desire for relationship, like the desire or like the love in a relationship, is one that can be merely offered to a person, not forced upon them. This, I would suggest, is why the virgins cannot simply share their oil, but they must offer or they must model their preparation, their readiness for the bridegroom to their fellow virgins. But what if someone does not have a desire for such a relationship? What are we to do then? As we have said, we cannot force someone to desire Jesus. What are we to do? Let's use the image of the lighted lamp in another way. When we were all baptized, we were given a candle. It might have been to us or perhaps to our godparents and parents. And that candle was lit from the Paschal candle, the Easter candle. And when it is given to us, the words are said that we are enlightened by Christ, given the light of faith, and that through that faith, that image of the candle, we are to go out and be the light to the world. As Jesus commands us, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Therefore, we may not be able to force someone to accept a relationship with Jesus, but we can let our relationship shine before all the world. Desire for Jesus can be modeled to others. And that light, that relationship of love and hope and intimacy can shine in a world full of darkness and despair and hatred. But we must always remember that we must choose to desire Jesus. In baptism, Jesus chose us. But later on in life, we must choose him. Our lamps were lit at baptism, just like that candle was lit from the Paschal candle. But when we choose Christ, we voluntarily put the oil of desire into the lamps of our souls. Our task is to take that lamp out into the world and display the light of Christ for all people who desperately need to know that light of love. A few days ago, I was talking with one of our parishioners here, and he came up to me and said, "Father, I have this, you know, you're talking about evangelization and stories of, you know, preaching Christ," and I had one just a couple of days ago. And he's a tour guide down at the Naval Academy, so he takes people around, and one of the places that he stops at is the Naval Academy Chapel. And he said, in all his years of giving this tour, he's never had anyone once, not once, genuflect when they got to the St. Andrew's Chapel, where our Lord is present in the tabernacle. But as he's taking this tour around, this young woman genuflects twice, one going into the chapel and then one exiting the chapel. So as the tour came to an end, he went up to this woman and asked her name. She said her name was Patricia. And he said, "Are you Catholic?" She said, "No, I'm not Catholic, but I've always wanted to be." He was kind of taken aback at this. He's like, "You're not Catholic?" She said, "I'm not even baptized, but I have watched Catholics for many years and always wanted to be one." And so, you know, parishioner got her email, and he told me, "We're going to, you know, try and keep up and just talk about faith and keep that relationship up." Very small little moment, but how powerful that someone who's not even baptized is genuflecting before the real presence of Christ in the tabernacle. And my question to us today is, what did she see in Catholics that made her want to be one? What did she see in a Catholic? Did she possibly see kindness and compassion lived out and given to the poor? Did she perhaps see someone witness to the truth, the real truth of the Catholic faith? Did she perhaps see true, authentic joy, joy that comes from a relationship with Christ and joy that lasts in the midst of suffering in the heart of a Catholic? No matter what the reason, the real question that we can ask ourselves today is this: what will people see in you and me? How will our lamps shine forth, declaring our love and our desire for a relationship with Jesus Christ, and how that lamp will pull others into a relationship with Christ as well? But how practically can we grow? If this is our goal, to go out and proclaim that love, to be people that attract others to Christ, how do we grow in this relationship? Well, the simple answer is prayer. St. Augustine reminds us that prayer is an exercise in desire. And what he means by that is that prayer stretches our desires. Prayer opens our hearts up and stretches them so that we can receive a greater share, greater relationship with Christ. That relationship not only remains in our hearts, but becomes infectious for others, that they may see the love in our hearts and desire our Lord. And continuing with what we've been doing the last couple of weeks, Father Jim and I have tried to give everyone a concrete, practical prayer to take home. We would like to point you in the direction of the Psalms. This week, we pray Psalm 63. And the book of Psalms is the prayer book of Israel. It expresses all of the deepest longings, desires, all of the thoughts and reactions to God that we have. And in today's liturgy, in today's readings, Psalm 63 is this extraordinary example of longing for Christ, wanting to have a relationship with Him. So we read, "O God, You are my God, whom I seek. For You my flesh pines and my soul thirsts, like the earth parched and lifeless without water." What a great expression, that yearning, that parched land that yearns for the love of God, that relationship with God. Our hearts are like that parched and dry earth that yearn for the waters of love. So I invite you to take this home, this psalm home. It's going to be at the bottom of Father James' pastor's corner this week. Clip it out, take it home, pray with it this week. Reflect through this psalm on your desire for Christ. Allow prayer to create that yearning for Jesus in your heart. A yearning that not only will make your life full and my life full, but may also be infectious for someone that we meet. We must be like the virgins who light their lamps, prepare their lamps with the oil of desire, and welcome Jesus. And my friends, this is not only for right now, but also for when our earthly pilgrimage, our earthly life is ended, and we stand before the throne of Christ the King, that we will be able to say, maybe completing the words of Psalm 63, O God, you are my God, whom I have sought all of my life. My body and my soul have thirsted for your love and your presence every day. I wish to live with you forever. Please receive me into your kingdom. My friends, this is our prayer, and this is the prayer I hope that I would pray on the day I reach the heavenly kingdom. And what a joy it will be when, God willing, we all stand before the presence of God and be ushered into the joy of heaven.